Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
You are listening live to the program.
Brought to you by Worth Harley-Davidson North, I-29 in Tiffany Springs. Why the hell not? You're worth it.
Your teams, your town, your program.
I'm still standing strong going through the offense, picking up the offense and learning everything. It's pretty much exactly what I was told it would be. And that's, I mean, it's, they didn't lie about anything. They hit the nail on the head, and it's done.
I don't know. I think I'm definitely trying different stuff than I would. I think that's kind of been the fun part, is having all this time and being able to really plan out recipes and try different things.
I understand Coach O, and always did understand that this, you know, something about it is different, and something about us down here is a little different about how we hear things. So, you know, I was able to understand everything.
You know, it's kind of like adding salt, you know, kind of enhances everything else in the dish. And so understanding kind of how to make things more well-rounded than, you know, here's oil, here's garlic, here's salt and pepper, and here's protein, and let's just cook it and make it happen.
And now, a man who heard that answer and said, you had me at salt, Soren Petro.
Right you are, Kay, right you are. Petro in the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB, Friday edition, beautiful Friday. Doesn't get any better than this. Great sunshine, warm day, but not hot. The humidity level is down as Kansas City tries to dry out from yesterday's deluge. Thanks for spending some of your Friday with us. We will get you ready for the weekend with a little sports talk radio. It's what we do here. Danny Unleashed coming your way at 3 o'clock. No idea where Danny's going to go. You know, he's just... he's a rebel without a cause is what he really is, and those are dangerous people. So we'll welcome.
He's unleashed. I mean, he literally could wander anywhere.
He could. He could pee over in the corner of the studio. We don't know.
The hot guys.
We don't know what's going to happen when Danny comes into the studio. No. 2-minute drill coming up at 4 o'clock, brought to you by our friends at Twin Peaks. They are open right now at Twin Peaks. So go check them out. Yes, there are some standards, so they can't accommodate quite as many people as they have in the past. So have some patience, but Twin Peaks is open. Eats, drinks, and scenic views. Of course, made from scratch menu. Ice cold beer, 29-degree beer out of the taps. They do it better than anybody. Twin Peaks in Independence and in Olathe. Adam Teicher with us in the 4 o'clock hour as well. Lewis Riddick from ESPN. Their NFL analyst, fine NFL analyst, and, of course, former pro player personnel director for the Philadelphia Eagles under Andy Reid, scheduled to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. So we've got a lot coming your way today. Let's start with a little college football, if you will. We're going to get to some Chiefs sound as well. I should point that out. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Mitchell Schwartz, Harrison Butker. Going to speak. Todd Lebo will be listening to. I listened to two of those three. One of them's going on right now. Harrison Butker, the one going on right now. We'll hear from Harrison Butker later on. But Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Mitchell Schwartz had that Zoom conference. And coming up at 4 o'clock, Dayton Moore will talk. I assume a lot of conversation about where we are with getting baseball going. As, you know, Jeff Passan, a regular throughout the day on ESPN, talking about the fact that there's nothing to talk about. They're not getting anywhere near it. So let's talk about somebody else.
Yeah.
Right? Let's talk about the Power Fives. Let's talk about the Power Fives, college athletics, and how it needs federal intervention. We know the federal government has nothing going on right now. Correct? Can we all agree on that?
Yeah, they're just kind of hanging out.
Thumb in butt would be the phrase that I think Curtis used to describe his weekends. No, I don't know.
Most weekends.
Yeah, but sitting around doing nothing. And, don't worry about that pandemic and the economy that's been turned upside down. Let's get to what is really important, and that is a 3-page letter asking for federal legislation to determine name, image, and likeness payments for college athletes. Because when I think about what's top of mind, this is it. Listen, I think we've had, I think Bob Bowlesby's done a very good job of being a leader in these difficult times for college athletics. But this one, they have crapped in their hat, the Power Fives. Brett McMurphy's tweet reads, in a three-page letter obtained by At Stadium, I guess that's where he's working now, Power Five league commissioners asked Congress to, quote, enact clear national policy on name, image, likeness, and not wait for the NCAA process to conclude. The NCAA is working on it right now. We can't wait for that. We need the federal government right now. And, he quotes again, quote, so there will be uniform national standard that will preempt state name, image, likeness laws. Time is of the essence.
Yeah.
There is so much wrong with that statement from the Power Fives. Unreal, their sense of timing. I'm assuming that somehow they've got this figured out as a way to save them a couple of bucks somewhere as they're facing major budget shortfalls, that it's now a priority for them. I will tell you, if while we are still battling a pandemic and trying to get our economy going, if the federal government has time to screw around with this, we are all really screwed. How can this, how can the time be of the essence right now for college athletics? How can you put yourself forward? Now, if it's the current American pastime of running your business, your major corporation, so piss poorly that you are on the brink of going bankrupt, a lesson that we should have learned back in 2008 during the mortgage crisis, that the banks should not own everything, right? Because that's a problem, because then everything goes under, the banks are, become insolvent. I'm told, and the minor amount of finances I actually do understand on a global scale, that the banks are in better shape. I hope they were given billions and billions of dollars. I would hope they'd be in better shape. But how can this possibly need to be done? And isn't this exactly what the NCAA is about? Right? You had a governing body. Basically, what has happened is the Power Fives don't like what the governing body that they are a member of, all right? They don't like, they don't want to know, they don't want to deal with, I should say, the NCAA, who is the institution that the Power Five schools are all a member of, who had rules about this. They don't like those rules. They want to change those rules. They don't want to work through the NCAA. They don't want to work with all the member institutions. They want to just push the NCAA off to the side, and they want the government to do the job that the NCAA exists for. That's its purpose. Listen, it's getting harder and harder for me to believe this word capitalism, right? When now the government is supposed to run college athletics? Have we lost our blanking mind? What is going on? What is happening here? Why do we need any laws? There don't need to, there needs to be no laws. That you're asking them to make a law that supersedes the rules of a commission that you belong to. The National Collegiate Association, excuse me. Athletic Association, you belong to them, you sign up for it, they come up with the rules, you play by those rules, or you get punished by that group. You don't like those rules, so you have gone to the federal government and asked them to come in and figure out the rules for name, image, and likeness. Because you've screwed it up so bad, You had no time. Time is of the essence. How many years have we been talking about this?
How long have I been doing this?
How since the inception of Sports Talk Radio? Because yes. We've joked about it. The overnight topic when the phones are dead, if you're on an overnight talk show, is, and nobody's told me why we shouldn't be paying these college athletes. It goes at least 25 years. For 25 years. And now, suddenly, today, when the Power 5 schools are fearing some kind of hit to their wallet or experiencing a hit to their wallet.
Autonomy 5. The Autonomy 5 is the new,
Autonomy
is the new
5,
name.
Excuse me. They are now asking the federal government to hand down the legislation on how this should work. You have got to be kidding me. This is the biggest example of a spoiled brat that I have ever seen. A bully. The biggest example of a bully that I have ever seen. Push around the students. Give them no, the athletes, the student athletes. Give them none of the billions of dollars you've got. And then at the first sign of trouble, run to the federal government. This is the most pathetic thing I have ever heard. States got tired of hearing it. States got tired of hearing it and said, okay, listen, this is crap, so we're going to handle it. Oh, so you got your nose bloodied because each individual state started going, yeah, this is crap. You guys are a joke. Institutions sitting on billions of dollars of endowment collectively, billions and billions, hundreds of billions of dollars endowment, charging hundreds of millions of dollars in tuitions, in student fees, making hundreds of millions of dollars, billions of dollars on television contracts. And they said, no, these kids can get paid. And immediately, Houston, we've got a problem. And the federal government is supposed to run in and immediately figure out how to pay these kids. Listen, if the federal government does it, then you know how much the government is in the pocket of these schools, how much the schools are in the pocket of the governments. Billions of taxpayer dollars already going to these institutions. And now the federal government, who I think ought to have something more important to do with their time, is supposed to sit down and figure this out for the colleges. This is one of the more preposterous things I've ever heard of in my life.
One of the more interesting comments in the first paragraph of this three-page letter, which is addressed specifically to Nancy Pelosi, Mitch McConnell, Kevin McCarthy, and Chuck Schumer. For those who aren't politically inclined, that's the Speaker of the House, the Senate Majority Leader, and the minority leaders of both the House and Senate, is we realize that as the country moves through the peak of the pandemic, Congress will begin to reintegrate other business into its calendar. We would like to offer you our perspective on a timely issue appropriately before you and your colleagues. So they're kind of trying to dress it up as we get you're busy with some stuff, but, you know, when you get a minute, we want you to look at this, but in a timely manner.
I love how they ignored it. They ignored it until the reality of how much they were absolutely just basically breaking labor laws. Certainly not adhering to any kind of capitalistic society. They get their nose bloodied, and now immediately they turn to the federal government for help. I think this is... this is an absolute disgrace. I think it's a farce. And, you know, I can't fathom how this is possibly going to work. How you can possibly, and what are they supposed to do, right? Sit out and pound out a law and this is how it works? Like, is this what the Rice Commission was all about? Like, if you want autonomy, just break away. Have your rules, write your rules, break away from the NCAA. To me, this is almost their bluff being called by the NCAA. Go ahead. Dennis Dodd wrote, hey, it could be in the next couple of years that they're breaking away. So break away and write your own rules. Oh, but every state has a different deal to it. So let them make whatever they want.
The first definition of the word autonomy, which they have placed on themselves, is the right or condition of self-government. Well, then do that. If you're going to call yourself that, go be in a spot where you can be self-governed. As you're saying, break away, and then you can govern yourself.
What they basically want is they want to be able to become a legal monopoly. The antitrust. They want antitrust protection. They want to write the law themselves. And then the federal government enacted. They basically want to come up with what they think the rules should be for paying players and then have the federal government enact it as a law. That, to me, is what they're doing here. Because each state is saying, no, this is how it works in this state. This is how it works in this state. And what does that do? That means that, oh, well, wait a minute, I can make a lot more money if I play for a Florida school. So the recruiting, let's go play for Florida and Florida State. They're going to get all the best players. Because that law is better than the law in Mississippi. The law in Mississippi says you can only make this much. So it's clearly an unfair advantage, right? That's the whole purpose of having a governing body. That's why you have the NCAA. That's why you have rules. But you screwed the rules up so bad, you took such advantage of the individual athletes that state governments finally said, okay, enough of that in this state. In this state, these guys who are making these hundreds of millions of dollars for these universities, they're going to get their cut. And here's the law. And now they realize, oh, crap, we really screwed up. Basically, what they're asking the federal government to do is save college athletics, save big-time, super lucrative college athletics. It's the most preposterous thing I've heard of. I cannot fathom how the federal government should have time. Listen, we talked about this when it came to the basketball investigation. How is the FBI decided their biggest issue is that Sylvia DeSouza may or may not have gotten $20,000 from Adidas to play basketball? Listen, who cares? Maybe if we didn't have our attention on, you know, kids who have talent and skills, getting paid for their talent and skills, you know, like everybody in the American workforce does. Maybe if we weren't sweating that and trying to protect archaic rules that are crap and somehow trying to interweave them and define them as somehow legal, defrauding the schools are the victims because they've paid out this scholarship. They've given them uniforms and books and some food, and they traveled, and they got sweatsuits, and they got an education, and now they're not eligible to play for the school, so the school is not getting what it was paying the player to do, just not with money, but with the trade of goods and services, barter, if you will. And because of that, we asked the government somehow weaseled their way in there and said, well, no, That can't happen. The kid can't get paid. No. Because the university has been defrauded of what they gave. Somehow the university's interests are what's the sweatsuits, the shoes, the books, yes, the education, the lavish apartment, the use of one of the greatest health clubs anybody could ever possibly want to go to for 4 years, 5 years to play for. They have been defrauded of that money, and so the federal government has to do that. This is what we need to be spending our time on. I mean, unreal. Obviously, you can see where we missed so badly on the pandemic. Now we have plenty of time. There is no world crisis, no national crisis that could ever come about. Let's focus our attention on college athletics. It's a joke. It is an absolute joke. And at the essence of it, the reality is, stop making minor league sports colleges domain. That's all that needs to happen. Just stop being so preposterously, classically American hypocritical and just say, no, you can't. Don't pay them. This is the answer. Don't pay them, but there can be no rules. The NBA and NFL cannot be party to setting age restrictions on when somebody is eligible to ply their trade. After his freshman year, everybody knew that Trevor Lawrence could play quarterback in the NFL. Let him go pro. Don't allow college athletics to say, you can't go to the draft and then come back. Once you declare for the draft, you can't come back. Why? Why? Why is that a rule? Well, it makes it harder for us to fill our scholarships. So what? Who cares? That's your problem. Figure it out. If a guy's good enough to go, let him draft every year. Make no declaration. The kid never declares. And then if he goes, great. Now you've got another scholarship to offer. Well, we wouldn't know that until, you know, signing days back in January. We wouldn't know that until, you know, like end of April. Oh, you mean like most college students who make their decision sometime that spring of their senior year? Oh, so a kid who'd suddenly be able to, you know, make signing day June 1. Well, but then we couldn't do all this crap where we graduate them early and we get them up here for spring ball. And so they're actually on campus, the freshman, the second semester of their senior year, so we can get a jump on. So what? What the hell is the point of that anyway?
Yeah, that's one of the
worst
rules.
We're so worried about amateur athletics. Protect their high school life. Give them 3-4 more months in high school. Why are we allowing them to leave high school early anyway?
Yeah, that's the worst part of the argument.
It is so preposterously hypocritical where we sit today on so many fronts. We are wasting so much time, energy, and money in and around this country, and now government time, to basically protect our minor league football and basketball so that the colleges can run the minor league football and basketball. It's the most asinine, hypocritical thing going in sports. It is a joke. Leave it up to the leagues. Make the leagues do it. Make college athletics what it is. You don't get paid. But you don't get to keep kids. In any way, shape, or form, no 3-year commitment to playing baseball, no 1-year commitment. Let them be drafted whenever they're drafted. If the leagues want to say, hey, you got a year to try to sign the kid, and the kid's got a choice of playing college or going pro, then do it. Like, there is no reason to keep legislating our way around what is obvious hypocrisy and is obviously robbing the workforce of the ability to make money off their talents. We have reached a preposterous level in athletics today. 913-3-810-810, 913-3-810-810. We'll get to the 4th and 15 went, by the way, side of the Chiefs said goodbye to it. I think I get it. I'm disappointed in it, but I think I get it. I'm disappointed overall that we don't have it, because I think it'd be a great rule, but we don't have it. We'll talk about that today here in the program, and we'll hear from some of the Chiefs players, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Mitchell Schwartz, Harrison Butker, Dayton Moore later on. Danny Unleashed coming up in the 3 o'clock hour, 2-minute drill, Adam Teicher, and who am I forgetting? Oh, Lewis Riddick. Yeah, Lewis Riddick talking about Andy Reid. Of course, he worked with Andy Reid. We'll get his thoughts on where Andy Reid stands now in the pantheon of the NFL. That's coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. You are in the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
His dream is to crush your dream. His contribution is to destroy your contribution.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, you're in the program here on Sports Radio. Thanks for joining us. Interesting times. Power Five asking the federal government to come up with uniform laws, just because their rules have been so ridiculous and so long overdue to be paying the athletes, at least allowing them to make money off their name, image, and likeness, that they are now watching the states say enough's enough. They realize they've got big, big problems, and so now they're asking the federal government to bail them out. But it's an American pastime now, having the federal government bail us out, so why not get to it right now? Let's go.
Baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and bailouts.
Yeah, we've got a number of other notes to get to you. Let's start out with this. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver and the league office informed the Board of Governors that July 31st is a target date for a return of the season. Nothing like getting right to it.
Yeah. Boom.
2 months?
2 months. Slow down there, boys. Don't get too far ahead of yourself.
Don't strain anything. I mean, wow, 2 months.
Walking up to it.
It's load management, Soren.
I guess.
Nicely done.
Wow. John Heyman tweets out that the Kansas City Royals are paying their minor leaguers for the whole year. This after 11 teams cut 50 minor leaguers each yesterday. And it should be pointed out that that is something that happens at the end of spring training. It hadn't happened because spring training didn't end And listen, we're watching people take pay cuts and get fired all over this country. I mean, I feel for anyone who's lost their job, but I don't see where it's any worse that baseball players, minor league baseball players, are losing their jobs than everybody in the service industry. So forgive me if I don't shed a tear, or at least any more tears. I'll shed a tear for anyone who lost their job. It sucks. But I don't see where this is any you know, really that much bigger deal than other folks. But if you're not going to let go of players, I think that's absolutely notable. And John Heyman says the Royals are paying their minor leaguers for the whole year and no releases. Haven't had any minors released and won't through the summer. Great organization with heart.
Nice.
That is a quote. Yes. Off that tweet, Jeff Passan, whom you'll hear here next week in the program. We're planning on next week. Very busy guy. We'll get his schedule worked out. We'll get him on next week. Additionally, the Royals will not have any layoffs or furloughs. Nearly 150 employees will not take pay cuts. Higher-level employees will take tiered cuts, but the organization plans to make them whole when greater revenues start coming in next year.
Absolutely, man.
Man, there's one for the Kansas City Royals. There's a reason to root for the Royals.
Yep. Absolutely. Love it.
Look, yeah. There's that's awesome. I mean, that's really cool. And not only the ownership saying, hey, listen, we're going to take care of our minor leaguers. Minor leaguers that normally wouldn't even be taken care of, they're going to do it. They're going to take care of all their employees. And at the upper end, yes, we do need to make some cuts to get by. But when we get through this and the good times start rolling in, we will make you whole.
We'll take care
of that. Where else have you heard? What other company have you heard that from? Now, there's some companies that have made no cuts and no furloughs and no reductions in payroll. But where else do you hear that?
I'm trying to think of one.
I haven't heard it anywhere else.
I thought maybe you had one in mind. I was going,
no.
Oh, no. Yeah, I got nothing.
No, man. I haven't. I haven't heard it anywhere else. So bravo to the Kansas City Royals and their ownership. Committed to Kansas City. We've had no threats of losing the Kansas City Royals. And they're committed to their people as well. That makes that team that much more that much easier to root for. So. Bravo to the Kansas City Royals.
Just hammers home the impression that has already been hammered home deeply enough by the way Dayton Moore has run the organization. Just the whole family thing, man. It's not just a slogan. It's not crap. It's a thing they live by every day.
Yeah.
That's terrific.
And it's not just for the millionaire ballplayers.
Right. Everyone.
It's for those that are making thousands as well. And you know what? It'll mean even more to them. Than it will the millionaires.
Yep.
And not that it doesn't mean a lot to the millionaires, but it will mean even more to those that, you know, it's a lifetime of work.
They have no fallback plan.
That's going to get them to retire comfortably. It's not half a season of work that gave them more than enough to retire for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
You know, so bravo to the Kansas City Royals. 913-810-810. Let's go to the phones. Tom wants to weigh in. You're in the program, Tom. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, I just want to say, first off, that I congratulate the Royals. That's awesome what they're doing for their employees.
Yes.
But I wanted to talk about college basketball or college athletics. I'm with you. The state and federal government should stay out of it. But once they're in, it gets really complicated to have to manage 50 different laws. So I understand why the NCAA would want the federal government to.
It's not the NCAA. This is not the NCAA. It's long. The NCAA urged some patience from the state governments and said, listen, we're going to work out some new rules. Just give us some time. The state government said, you've had nothing but time.
Right.
And they laid out some plan that, like, in 5 years they'd get around to it. And the state said, no, enough. And they moved on.
Right. And
this is now the Power Five asking for these rules.
Well, yeah. But in any case, having to manage 50 sets of rules would be, I think that's
right.
Competitive.
Of course it would. Absolutely.
So I understand why they'd be asking, but they should have done a better job, like you said.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have ever come to that. I'm just fed up.
Oh, no, and that's the right, and there you go, Tom, and that is a great way to put it. You're fed up. Because here's the issue, and thank you for the call. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we pointed out, if Florida says, hey, they can make as much as they want, And Mississippi says up to $50,000. Florida says money goes directly to them. Arizona says money has to be put into a trust when they get out of school. Florida says, I can't even think of anything else that makes it even better, right? But then if you're a top-tier college football player, where are you going to go? Even if you're going to sit the bench, even if you think I'm the seventh best linebacker, but you're being recruited to Florida and you're going to get two, you've already got, businesses down there saying, we'll give you $250,000 to go here. And Arizona says, well, Mississippi says you're capped at $50,000, and Arizona says, well, you're not going to get it until after the 4 years are over.
Well, and also,
where are you going to go play?
Think about the added advantage that Florida already has built in the sense that they're a state without any income tax. And if you're a college athlete getting offered even more in that state, I'd be like, I'm probably going to Florida.
Yeah. Texas, California, same rules. That's where everyone's going to end up going. So, I get it. But this is not new. Right. This has been discussed for a long time. And the state's been working on the name, image, likeness thing for like 2 years. And just now they're like, oh, my God, we really got problems. Because now not only are they facing massive shortfalls, we had Jim Sterk on yesterday. If you missed it, the athletic director at Missouri, go to 810WHB.com or the 810 app to hear the podcast of it. And I thought about following up, but I had other things I wanted to get to, so I just let his answer stand. I said, what happens if there's no football? And I got a similar answer to what I got from Gene Taylor at Kansas State, pretty much like, well, we don't even – I can't fathom that.
Yeah.
Now, that's a little dangerous because what if, the boomerang effect, the second wave, the cold and flu season, is way worse? It's why the behavior of people now is so important to bring the numbers down as far as we possibly can, because they're going to go up during the cold and flu season. Okay, so that's going to happen. So it's important for everybody in society to do everything they can to bring those numbers down, right? To listen to what the health experts are telling us we need to do to try to contain the virus as much as possible. But so what are we going to do? Like there's 24, they're talking about, it's good. They're like, well, there might be a team that can't play. Bob Bowlesby said, we might have a team that, has several positive tests and we have to quarantine them for 14 days. So they can't play their next two games. And so we've got to see if we can partner up teams to do that. Well, what are we going to do though, if it's the entire SEC? Like what are we, what's acceptable? A couple of people is acceptable. Then no, 20, half the team. I don't care. Get some kid out of the science lab and put a uniform on him. He's got to play because we've got to fulfill this TV contract. I mean, really. I mean, this is the thing, and I asked this of Mitchell Schwartz as well about the NFLPA. Football is not really. DeMaurice Smith, the head of the NFLPA, was the first guy to even entertain the idea that there might be a disruption to the NFL. They've at least come around to acknowledging that there's probably not going to be full stadiums. And maybe no fans in the stands for the NFL. And that got easier because of how much television revenue they have, right? They still want it to happen. The colleges are begrudgingly going there. Arkansas says they're planning for packed houses. Ohio State says they're planning for a sixth of the people to be in the stands, which, by the way, isn't a packed house in Arkansas potentially more dangerous to the opposing team that comes in and plays at Arkansas?
I would think so, which gets back
whether it's
to...
the Yeah, whether it's the amount of people that are around the kids getting off the bus to the amount of people in underneath the stadium to the amount of people out on the field to just the proximity. Some of these college, stadiums are right down on the field. We don't really know what it is. Outside certainly seems much safer than being inside in an enclosed environment where the air isn't circulating. So maybe it's totally okay for the players down there on the field. But it's not okay to be screaming and yelling right next to somebody because you're expelling more into the environment. And yet, so we've got all these different things. They can't even figure out how many people to have in the stands.
Yeah. I can't think who it was we heard from about the need for that across the board conditions and things. But forget conference to conference. Even within the conferences, they can't get it. If you can't get 14 schools to agree on something, how are you going to get 65? Just in the Power Five, and all 100 and some, however many football schools, to get everyone to agree on the same type of conditions, that's impossible.
Yeah, I mean, and that's why, you know, that's why they, you know, they're asking for somebody for the federal government to come in and bail them out because of their piss poor management.
And
the new American management deal doesn't matter if you suck; the federal government will bail you out. Let's grab some of that federal money. You know, free handouts, little corporate welfare for everybody. If you run your business like crap, you know, bail it out. And so we now want the federal government to spend their time making the laws.
And the timing, again, to get back to the timing with all the things, to me, it's like going to a buddy and going, hey, man, I know you're going through a divorce and, you know, you got a kid in the hospital and you just lost your job, but can you help me move Saturday? I know it's short notice, but it's really timely. I need to move. We got going.
Yeah.
I mean, when you get a moment, can you help me?
Yeah, right. 913-3810-810. Let's go to Mr. Chairman. You're in the program, Mr. Chairman. What's going on?
Hey. Hello, Soran. How are you doing?
Good, buddy. What's on your mind?
Well, I'd like to comment on, just kind of all of what we're talking about here. Like your last comments fit very well in. The baseball versus players, I mean, I guess, like, how do you let your organization just get so bad where, like, your employees and your management just don't work right? That's just a bad – I am a business owner, and, if it got that bad with our employees, like, that's just bad business.
Yeah. I mean, the problem is what has allowed it to fester and actually become worse and worse and worse over time is that these employees, if they want to have this profession, if this is the profession they want to work in, they can't just quit and go someplace else. It's a monopoly of learning the trade of playing in the National Football League. You have to play college football.
Well, Soren, I'm going to challenge you on that one, though.
Okay.
I'm a small business owner, but I've, you know, worked for other people too. The thing is, I've always found it was a whole hell of a lot easier taking a job than creating a job. If take Mike Moustakas, that guy is a perfect example.
Wait a minute, can we settle the first one first? How, if you want to play football, do you not have to play college football? If you want to be in the NFL, how do you do it without going through college football?
Well, but you can always – see, that's where I was going to go with my comment was you can start your own thing. If Mike Moustakas isn't happy with this contract, he can start his own league and compete with the MLB.
No, you can't. They have antitrust. They have a monopoly. They have a legal monopoly.
Well, but antitrust, it just means – well, but it's kind of –
have you seen the XFL try twice?
But they could – see, that's the thing.
No, they can't. But they can't. They can't because there's not a law against something doesn't mean it can be done. Like, there's not a law against me jumping off my house and soaring into the sky, but it's not going to happen.
Soren, the NFL does not have an NFL exemption. They have tried many times with the World League, with other minor leagues. They didn't make money. It didn't work.
Right. So the only way to play in the NFL is to go through college football. Do you know the last person to play in the NFL that didn't play college football?
I don't.
Can you name me anyone who did it?
I don't. Well, I
can name you two. There are two.
Okay.
Eric Swan did it in the late 80s, I think it was. Maybe it was the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And Vince Papale, who the movie, what is it?
Yeah, I remember that.
Invincible?
Yes. That's it.
And
right now, and what both of them had to do was basically do nothing for 3 years because there is a law that you can't get a job in this profession, a paid job, until you've been out of high school for 3 years.
No, the Maurice Clark case, like, I completely agree with you. If he's good enough to go, let's go.
Right. That's not there. It's all tied up in the same thing. Listen, I hear what you're saying, Mr. Chairman, and I get that you're – and I appreciate the call, and I get that you have a business. There's no way to play. There's no point in pissing and moaning you and I back and forth for even 30 seconds. Like there's some mystical, magical way where one individual might be able to back-ass their way into the league. If you want to play in the NFL, you have to go to play college football.
You mentioned two guys. One guy did it in 91. One guy did it in 76.
I mean, it's and for 3 years they had to do something else.
Yes.
It's preposterous. It is preposterous. Todd Lebo's kid is brilliant. The kid graduated, I don't know, is it a computer and electrical engineering degree at the age of 20, and he went to work. He couldn't have gotten that job if his profession was football. That's BS. Right? Yep. We will allow anybody else to do it. It's all a joke. And we sit here because they have been able to strong arm it. And listen, and we're all to blame. Because we love the old alma mater. We want to watch our college football. So we really didn't give a crap that these kids were getting screwed over all the time. We sat by. At the very least, we were complicit in our inactions. And listen, very little part, because I don't expect anybody to spend 50% of their day, you know, beating on their congressman's door to get, you know, kids a shot. They didn't have it. It's not slavery. I do hate, and I think the people that talk about it, it's slave labor in college athletics. They've hurt the cause, and they've set the cause back. Because it's not slave labor. It's not the worst environment in the world. You get many perks, but it's not a free market. It's not capitalism. At a time that politically everyone's throwing around terms like fascism and socialism, I mean, listen, that's been what are you think you're looking at with college athletics? I mean, it's just it's staggering the hypocrisy. It's just an absolute snapshot of how we work as Americans. We don't want to believe something, so we just ignore it, and we announce, we find some jackass on some other channel to tell us that what we want to be true is true, and then we buy it hook, line, and sinker. And this is what you get. And then now what's to happen? The federal government's supposed to bail everybody out again. It's a joke. It's a joke. It's pathetic. It's pathetic. It is a sign of weakness of what's going on in this country. All right? It's a joke. 913-3810-810. You're in the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
Thanks, Coach.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're listening to the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you. Thank you for joining us. Curtis Siebel, Jed Marshall running the operation. Danny Unleashed coming up next hour. We'll see if Danny has any thoughts on this. 913-3810-810, the phone number, 913-3810-810. Let's get to Eric. Eric, you're in the program. What's going on, buddy?
Man, you have so many great topics I want to touch on today. So I'm going to run a few quick things real quick, and I'll hope you can touch on them. So first of all, I agree with you about what the Royals said about or what the Royals did about paying the minor leaguers. However, I would like to know how you feel about them moving corporate offices from the state of Missouri to the state of Delaware to avoid paying taxes in the state of Missouri because Delaware is cheaper, and knowing that they're going to come for us for more stadium money out of our tax revenues in a few years. So that's number one. Number two, why are we letting politicians decide our come back to work rules as opposed to science when the CDC has come out and said things like the transmission rate is lower than we previously thought. It's not being spread on hard surfaces like we previously thought. Children under the age of 20 are virtually immune to this thing. You know, 60 more people have died 80 and over than have died 60 and under. So that was that, and I can't remember what the other the college sports thing. Vince McMahon, the XFL, should be going to compete against college football and not the NFL. Play Saturdays in the fall, and they would be successful by giving people like Trevor Lawrence a $100,000 contract to play quarterback for them. I'll listen to everything you got coming.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you, and I appreciate the call, buddy. Eric, I'll take them in reverse order. Listen, I think the NFL is desperate for a minor league. That's what college football is. I think they could use it because they need the quarterback play. They need one where guys can, you know, actually go out and get on the field. Quarterback's the one position that when you're a backup, you can't even sniff the field. And so just for the very nature of developing quarterbacks, they need that. Now, colleges are doing a better job all the time of developing quarterbacks. I do think there are more competent QBs in the NFL than we've had in quite a while. So that's getting the job done. But why is the NFL allowed to have a free minor league? I mean, I think it's – and the NBA as well. I think it's some of the most preposterous stuff we've ever seen. Every other sport internationally has – basically club sports. Once you are identified as being good enough to have a future in it, you can start getting paid. We do it in this country in soccer. And I remember reporting the first time that Sporting Kansas City signed a kid here locally who was not done with high school. And I remember the talk show host screaming and yelling about, oh, my God, I mean, what about his high school career? And he's losing his childhood. And, oh, God, it was just terrible. And then the same people screaming and yelling about how ridiculous college basketball is and the money that's going on there and what a joke that is. Like, well, which is it? Do you want the honesty and the transparency of just saying, look, minor leagues, you're good enough when you're good enough. When your parents sign off on that you can start going to practice, then that's how it works. You want to go play? You want to set an age at 16, 14? I don't know what the age is. I don't know what the age is. It's a difficult question. But I know it's not 21. Okay? And so, yeah, I think it's absolutely ridiculous, and I think the NFL should be running its own minor league, and I think it could be profitable. But they're making so much money just sitting on their fat ass. Why would they get up and actually do something and take some of the revenues that are pouring in when they're getting free stadiums because of us taxpayers, as you pointed out, and they don't have to have a minor league? We watch the product anyway. Why expand it? Why bring more football to more people in more places? Why? Why do it when it's so easy to just lay on your bed and have your concubines come by and dangle the grapes over your mouth where all you have to do is open your mouth and bite the grape?
Sounds pretty good,
like you're
actually
Julius freaking Caesar. Okay? It's ridiculous. Politicians and when they go back to work, listen, I'm not touching that one. I mean, there's nothing to do with sports. I will say this, that somebody has to be in charge of the health of the country. All right. And I'm with you. We need to be listening to the scientists. We need to be listening to the doctors. And there is no black and white on that. It's a gray area because we don't have things to find. We learn more and more about the disease all the time. I don't really have anything for you there. The Royals moving to Delaware doesn't thrill me. Like, I just assume their taxes be paid in the state that they're going to ask the taxpayers for money to, and do get taxpayer money every year to keep for the upkeep of the stadium. Yes, I would much rather have them be in the state of Missouri. But there's a reason why. Do you use credit cards? Every one of your credit cards originates out of Delaware. Every credit card company is based in Delaware. So we're all party to it. We all sign up for it. If you use a credit card, you are contributing to the system that the Royals just signed up for.
Time for our Deli Fresh end of the hour question. Sponsored by Good Sense. Chosen by KC sandwich lovers for 30 years. Good Sense, not because it's easy, but because it's better.
All right, who was the first rookie to start at quarterback in a conference championship game? Brought to you by Good Sense.